rev up the engines. It's time for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. From race recaps, opinions, the biggest news stories, and more, we're ready to hit the racetrack. Time to go three wide. And now your host, Eddie Greer III.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 293rd episode of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast is on the airwaves once again. Eddie Greer here with you guys, aka EG3, for this NASCAR Podcast. What's getting coming from Manhattan, Kansas, and this is all about the latest things, what's going on according to the biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. Talking about the Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And I'm recording this on this Sunday morning here, folks. Race day, special edition of the All-Star Race coming up later on this evening, late afternoon slash evening here. And I'm only going to be here. This is going to be a little bit change up a little bit from the usual shows. Those shows will be back next week. It's going to be a half hour-ish, a little bit. So this is the second take of this episode. So yeah, I'm doing this again in a little bit of different style format. Of course, I'll get into the Kansas recap in just a moment. And then, of course, the trucks raced on Friday night and in the yesterday's Xfinity Series race, which was a wreck fest, which ended in a Cup regular winning. I'll get to that momentarily. Of course, the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. You can find it wherever you get your podcast, folks. Whether that's Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, and more. The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast about to hit the summer months, folks, in June. Right now, we are in the back end of May, folks, and obviously next week it's going to be a huge weekend with Memorial Day, and of course that includes the Indy 500. Get to that here in the end of the show here, and particularly with Jimmy Johnson doing some work over there on that track, getting ready for the Indianapolis 500. Of course, he is a multi-winner of the Brickyard 400. Anyways, Kansas, let's get right on to it. Kansas, last weekend, man, that was something else. I think Kansas is the more of the underrated amount of tracks in all NASCAR. That's all I'm going to say. If you take out what I watched in the Truck Series race last weekend, last Saturday night there, obviously, you know, you're going to have those stinkers, and more though, that was one of them last night with Zane Smith just eating up the field last night en route to, and probably, yeah, he said it himself, that was probably the easiest win there I've seen yet all year long in the Truck Series. And Zane Smith got his third win last weekend, and then, of course, Friday night, Stuart Friesen won in overtime, holding off Christian Eckes in that battle in Texas. So yeah, there's that there on that. And then Sunday, I thought we're gonna be in trouble. Obviously, the weather, when I woke up last Sunday, and it was bad. It looked bad, and thankfully it only rained for that first half of the day, because it didn't look very good at all. Of course, the weather, of course, with weird weather changes in the Midwest, you don't know what you're going to get. It's particularly with yesterday, with the Bill Snyder Half Marathon run that I took part of. But rain, thunderstorm, or did all that. And then, of course, I had a hotel set up in the almost 15 minutes away from the track. So it had to be really close to the track. Well, obviously, it had to be close to the racetrack. Then it cleared out about just after noon, and with the sun popped up and everything, with it being really hot, the track dry, of course, the track process, drying process started afterwards, and then I didn't get to the muddy infield, I shouldn't say muddy infield, muddy park lot, until around 12:30-ish or something like that. Man, it was a mess out there in that parking lot. Luckily, with the new car that I have now, I didn't get stuck with it. That was my fear, putting this thing in the good old mud. But luckily, I was able to pull out of that and is moseying on afterward after the show. But yeah, I mean, Kansas, I mean, a lot of guys, media, I think Jordan Bianchi in one of his shows last year mentioned that, you know, Kansas needs to have one race. I don't think so. And that's probably me saying it being a little biased a little bit that I've seen. That's probably one of the cup race I'm talking about now. That is one of the more favorable races, maybe probably top five since coming out here to just relocating to the Midwest. And that was some show Kurt Busch and Kyle Larson put on last weekend over there in Kansas City. And I thought Kyle Larson was going to come around. I thought he was going to spin out when he lost control of that thing. Live. Seeing it live in person, I thought he was coming around. But he saved it. And looking at the TV version of it several times now, yeah, I mean, the dude races pretty much every night. Obviously, a dirt legend going out there racing one night, racing almost like 5 days a week, pretty much. So he knows how to control those cars. That was an impressive right there. Saving it. And then, of course, these two battling out. And then Kurt Busch, 23-11 racing, getting their second win, folks, of their existence. Obviously, last year, Bubba Wallace did it, coming through at Talladega. Rain. Speaking of rain, Bubba Wallace, you know, obviously put himself in the right spot, right time, obviously with his speedway prowess there, getting that first big-time win, an emotional win there for 23-11. Of course, the face of that franchise or organization, whatever you want to call it. Now, Kurt Busch gets his, at least for right now, we're in late May. Yes, we're in late May, but Kurt Busch gets his one win of the year there, holding off the 5-car there, and he puts his name in the playoffs now, and the number is growing. I believe that is either the 11th or 12th different winner already this year, and you still have, guys, at least a couple big names yet to win the regular season. Obviously, tonight is All-Star night, folks, so obviously Ryan Blaney, Martin Truex Jr. on that list, hasn't won yet here. There's a couple other drivers that have not won. That includes Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Yeah, Ryan Blaney. Who would have thought Joey Logano, and who would have thought that Austin Cindric, I might have said this a few episodes ago, would have said, hey, Austin Cindric would get a win before Ryan Blaney does. Ryan Blaney is seeing what top five in the regular season point standings right now. So obviously there's that. I mean, you would have guessed, everybody would have probably said Blaney over Cindric, but Cindric got the win in the season premiere of the Daytona 500 earlier this year. So Blaney sitting went out and win. Kevin Harvick was just bad last weekend at Kansas, qualifying at 23rd and ran pretty much like that. So that's uncharacteristic of that team. And of course, the boys of the Teardown podcast, Gluck and Bianchi, mentioned Harvick in his age and deteriorating performance and whatnot. And whew, I don't know. I mean, we've seen Eric Almirola run good at times this year. Cole Custer's put together some good runs this year. And Chase Briscoe, dominant performance, winning. Who would have put that on the bingo card? Chase Briscoe getting a win before Kevin Harvick at one of Harvick's dominating places. Yes, Harvick got extended a top 10 streak or had the most top 10s at a single racetrack at Phoenix earlier this year. I believe that was said at. But other than that, yeah, Chase Briscoe kicked everybody's butt out west out there. That's the only win. They'd be kind of the only, they'd be forgotten team down there. Obviously, you know, Chase Briscoe, you know, he came out of House of Fire earlier this year. He's kind of came back down to earth a little bit as the year wears on. But we're going to have these tracks coming up that are going to really tell the pipe here of what's going to happen. Obviously, you have a huge Coca-Cola 600, the Coke 600 next weekend. And I believe I've looked into Gateway, believe it or not. I know I just went down last month and went to Oklahoma City, which is almost a 5-hour drive. It's 4.5 to OKC. Obviously, it's a cakewalk to go to Kansas City, Kansas Speedway. And I've started looking into St. Louis Gateway. Yes, I have, 3-Wide Nation. So that would be a 5-hour-ish drive. Just over, yeah, it's over 5 hours drive. going over there. So I don't know if I'm going to go, obviously, because I have other duties, but I'm not leaving it out. I'm definitely not leaving it out for sure. So definitely I will call. I might even call the office and see what's up with that. So EG3 not leaving out an appearance. Now, I might not be going to the truck race. I'm only want to go to the cup race, obviously the trucks and Xfinity have raced there a long time, but it'll be the first time ever that the cup cars hit the track with that new car out there in the Midwest and St. Louis, Kenny Wallace country. So I've started looking into that. We'll see. I'm not going to rule it out. It just has to be a decision where I need to talk with the fam, and we'll see from there. But I definitely will not rule it out. It'll probably be one and done, one day type of deal there. So we'll see. But that'll be something where I have to probably get up early in the morning, which I do anyways on a regular basis, and get up and just go out there and make the trip. So definitely not ruling it out. I'll have to make that decision in the next week or so. So I didn't think that, sorry to get off base a little bit, but with St. Louis not being that far, I mean, that's 5 hours drive from the racetrack. So that's 3 more hours from Kansas Speedway, right? So with that being a historical moment there, definitely, I've never been out there. Well, I've been to St. Louis only twice, maybe 3 times, but yeah, never to the racetrack itself. So yeah, it wouldn't be an overnight stay, given with the budget. I have to budget a little bit, so that's why it'll be a one-stop shop there. I could probably do it in 1 day. It'll just be a late night coming in. But I kind of want to give you a heads up on that. I will let you know for sure if I punch a ticket to go to Cup Race, because that's what I'm looking at right now. It wouldn't be an all weekend type of deal. Just figure I went there to that type of deal there. But yeah, absolutely, Stewart Haas has been put to the back burner a little bit on that, and I believe all Hendrick Motorsports has won a race. Barn has won multiple. Larson, Bowman has won at Las Vegas earlier this year, and Chase Elliott's win at Dover this year. So yeah, the only multi-winners this year coming in this All-Star break, Ross Chastain. Who would have mentioned that earlier this year? Nobody. Nobody. Don't tell me that somebody put some money down. Ross Chastain winning multiple races heading in there, because he has multiple wins more than Kyle Larson. Who would have been saying that as well? And William Byron's prowess. He's putting himself in multiple positions, but at least he has 2 wins and maybe possibly 1 more, obviously, without his dust up with Joey Logano prior to the Kansas weekend. So that, coming in there, obviously they kept their rivalry rolling through the last weekend with William Byron, Joey Logano hashing out more words for each other. So that rivalry is going strong and stronger, getting stronger and stronger as the year progresses there. So Joey Logano kept the stance. Well, obviously William Byron, surprisingly, did not. Well, obviously he got the back end of the stick, but obviously this incident, if you guys been under a rock here a little bit, started with this was a racing deal. Coming off of 2 early in the race, the 2 got together. Logano kind of got shoved up the wall a little bit, coming off a tight turn 2. Obviously, Darlington, that corner, that turn itself is really wicked and tight going out there. And then later on, apparently, Joey Logano just bulldozed his way through William Byron, on his way to the checkered flag at that Darlington race 2 weekends ago. We'd set up shop with the whole Joey Logano there calling William Byron out to win the race, and then William Byron saying some stuff that I'm not going to repeat. And, he cleared it up with Jimmy Little afterwards there, but he was pissed. In fact, they got ran over, and then those words just gets carried over to Kansas there with the first thing Joey Logano said. He just held ground like usual, and William Byron also keeping ground as well. So, it'll be interesting to see. This is the All-Star race, so we'll see if this comes around. I will not rule it out as well. Obviously, this track, this Texas track, And Kazhas says no, since the unfavored reconstruction of this racetrack, you know, you're getting this one groove racetrack, but seeing, you know, the Xfinity series and a little bit of the truck series over the weekend, a little bit of the two groove track a little bit now, guys can pass on the high side, and if you have a grid car on the low side, you can pass on the low side on 3 and 4. And so we'll see if they find each other tonight, because this will be the, well, I don't want to say the mile and a half wouldn't be the right spot because of the higher speeds, but we'll see. We'll see. You can't rule that out, obviously. So we'll see there. But yeah, it all circles back to 23-11 racing there. Bubba Wallace should have had a top five finish because that car is fast. That McDonald's 23 car, that was fast. But the pit crew was not in this game. Screwed over Bubba Wallace, which we have seen multiple times, a la like Martin Truex Jr. also. But the Martin, thankfully enough, the tire issue that Martin had, he was able to bounce back and score a sixth place finish last weekend at Kansas City. Bubba Wallace did rally back to finish in the 10th position.
Rev up the engines. You're listening to the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3.
So the top 10 coming from Kansas last weekend. This is the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast here. The All-Star Race is tonight, as I'm recording this on Sunday morning, folks, for you guys. Here real quick, I already mentioned Bubba Wallace in that McDonald's Toyota finishing in the 10th spot. He came from mid-pack to finish in the 23rd position. That was impressive there from him. And all Toyotas really are fast all weekend long. Alex Bowman finished 9th in the Ally Chevrolet. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. started deep in the field. And this team is going to be in the open. And I will not put it past them if they can race their way into the All-Star race tonight. They started deep in the field, and they're running back in the top 10 for second half of that race. So it's clear that Brian Patty and Ricky Stenhouse Jr., they know how they've been showing some speed as of late. We know Ross Chastain finished 7th spot. And then, really, it was the 1-19 all day long, which is very irritating. The fan in me speaking, Martin Truex Jr. finishing 6th. These two guys were racing around each other all day long. Obviously, we know their incident back at Dover. Christopher Bell, the pole sitter for this race, last weekend finished 5th. He had issues, and tire issues as well. Denny Hamlin finished 4th. Kyle Busch, 3rd in the M&M's Cookie Toyota there. Kyle Larson, the save of the afternoon. HendrickCars.com Chevrolet comes up 2nd there, and he comes up short to the winner in the MJ brand. Michael Jordan getting his 2nd win as NASCAR Cup Series owner, along with Denny Hamlin getting the win there. Kurt Busch led a race high 116 laps en route to his first win with 23-11. I believe that is win number 34 in his Cup Series career. Huge right there. And the tire issue, that, you know, this one lug nut, I thought it would be a lot more easier going in, and I tweeted it out at the racetrack last weekend. Tiregate, Kansas edition, May 2022. it was, I mean, the tire, and it really goes back to earlier, back at the Daytona 500, when you saw loose wheels pop off at the 500 racetrack. Dangerous, and I don't think it's this soft the issue. You might as well just go back to the 5 lugs, because this one lug nut thing, this has not really worked out here in the first stage of the 2022 season. When you look at this, I mean, I thought coming in, you know, looking at it from when this NASCAR came up with this last changing up at least the tires, you know, it would be a little bit easier for it, but apparently it's not. You see loose wheels, you're seeing problems maybe with the height or whatever. I don't know what it is, but it does not come to a surprise that you see tire issues each week, and you see loose wheels, you see tires go off the pit road, mistakes and whatnot. And Eric Jones, boy, you feel bad for him sitting on pit road, which seemed like an eternity, and you didn't know what was going on. And then, of course, you can hear the guys, the speakers who were in charge of speaking out to the crowd, you didn't know what was going on, but taking the tire off too tight, lug too tight, it took them, what, 30 minutes or seemed like an eternity to get that thing off of pit road. And Eric Jones was running in the top 15 or back in the top 10, which seems like a reoccurrence with this team. Obviously, they have the speed. And by the way, this 43 is in the open. And I have him as a guy that is going to transfer in to race his way in to the All-Star race tonight. But yeah, you got to feel bad for him and that team. And finally, after a few days, they got a tire off. So that was an adventure there. Tyler Reddick hit the wall multiple times. Chase Briscoe spun out in front of Martin Truex. He had a couple close calls. Chase Briscoe is one of them. And I can't remember who was the other one that spun in front of him as well. That was early in the race. That could have been much worse than that. The unpredictability, like Brian Sarr said. And oh, by the way, that episode is in the archives now. Prior to this one, 292 of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. So yeah, a lot of tire issues coming out of here as well. So definitely something to keep your eyes on tonight. You can't rule that out because that could ruin a shot at somebody winning $1 million tonight as well. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, this is a lot of tire problems that cost a lot of people. Chase Elliott spun out. Yeah, I think it was Chase Elliott, I think, that was one of the cars. I think that was a different... That actually put Martin Truex Jr. back on the lead lap. I think it was somebody else that had a problem. Kevin Harvick brought out a caution, which it was in the middle of the only green flag pit stops of the afternoon out there as well. Eric Almirola had a rough afternoon himself, too. I could go down the line here. A lot of guys, so yeah, definitely Joel Logano was not a factor in this race. Neither was William Byron. William Byron was leading at one point, but yeah, after that, a tire issue took him out of a potential probably top five run himself as well. So yeah, a lot of tire issues coming out of this race for the Avant Health 400 as well. So that's definitely something you gotta look forward to. You cannot control these tires, but again, you know, this this lug nug on these tires, yeah, something's got to be done with that. I know it's early. We're heading into mid-season here, but yeah, we're going to stretch the tracks here where, yeah, you have this problem. It's going to cost you, so we'll see what happens about that. This race took 3 hours and 13 minutes, 3 seconds, folks. Your stage winners, Kyle Busch winning stage one. The Busch brothers winning these stages. Kyle winning stage one. Kurt winning stage two as well. There are 8 caution flags and 47 laps there as well. And then 18 lead changes among 10 drivers in this race. Of course, Christopher Bell won the pole for the Swiss, and then Kurt Busch holding off multiple challenges from Kyle Larson to win the race last week in the Avant 400 there, which Kurt Busch, obviously, in the All-Star race for next year if he comes back, obviously. So Kurt Busch, I think, either is he or Kyle. I think they've been in this thing for a long time, and I think Mike Joy announced it. This talked about this coming back from one of the commercial breaks. I think this is Kurt's tonight. Kurt Busch's 18th appearance in the All-Star race. Goodness gracious. So he's been in this thing for a while. So I'm seeing what he does, obviously, tonight as well. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 Kansas Recap Edition and getting you set up for the All-Star race tonight. And, of course, speaking of Tyler Reddick, who is going to have to start in the back and is open here later on today, he won the Xfinity Series race, which was a wreck fest yesterday. Some ugly hits, including a big wreck, including the sorry cars in the back of the field. Sorry, Junior Motorsports. It seemed to me like they had a stranglehold of this race, but Noah Gregson had a couple issues, including backing into the wall, which triggered by a Josh Berry spin. I think Josh Berry spun, and which featured Noah Gregson tagging the wall hard, which pretty much ended his day, and then it kind of finished it off Later, Justin Allgaier, speaking of tire trouble, he had tire issues yesterday as well that cost him an opportunity to win, go to victory lane at Texas. So they had to sit there and watch Tyler Reddick, a cut regular, get the job done over there. And Tyler Reddick won the pole for the Open today, but he told Vince Welsh that he had to start back in the field. Unapproved adjustments. So, breaking news from Tyler Reddick yesterday. He's going to start in the back of the field, which he's proven he has fast race car. And I had him already locked, wrote down, and I still have... That doesn't change anything for me. I think he's going to somehow, some way, find a way with that fast car to get race's way to the All-Star race. If not, he's going to win the popular vote. So I got him there. I already said Eric Jones. He's going to race his way in there. And I'm going to change a third on here as well. It might backfire a little bit, but hey, I'm gonna keep these top four. That these top Reddick, Schwartz, even though Tyler Reddick is gonna have to start rear of the field in this old NASCAR Open, Suarez, Stenhouse Jr., Eric Jones, right? Four different organizations: RCR, Trackhouse, JTD Doherty, Petty GMS, right? I think these are the same four you're gonna see in the All Star race tonight. So I'm just leaving it at that. No particular order. I think you're going to see these guys all advance via something weird happens in this race, because who knows? Obviously, you win at one of these stages, you're going in. So I don't think, you know, these top four, Austin Dillon's got an outside shot, but he said he has some serious issues. And funny enough, because, you know, the 8 has a lot of speed and you do not. So we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be fun. That's for sure. You're going to see these guys. This is going to be hard ass racing. That's for sure. That's one thing you're going to get for sure from this. So I'm going to keep it like that for sure. So these four, I think you're going to see these same starting four advance themselves into the big dance tonight for the NASCAR All-Star Race 2022, which, by the way, we're going to get into that right now. Obviously, that format for the Cup Series, That was a little bit of twist there, a little bit of freshness there, involving the pit crews. Finally, I missed the old format there where it's pit. You know, they had I like the older format better. Obviously, you know, finally they get the pit crews involved with this drag style, the top eight. You know, obviously, you know, we've seen, you know, the top five in each qualifying session ballot for the final round yesterday. In pertains to the All-Star race, it was the top, if you qualified first in the top eight, you're gonna battle in this All-Star pit crew challenge, quote-unquote 2022 style, drag race style, right? So you had the pit crew, pretty much you set up pit road, then you mosey on into the pits, battle it out, pit crew, and then beat the pit. If you pit your pit crew is on it, you had a chance to win the race off pit road, and then obviously win the drag line to the start finish line, that to complete your lap. And obviously the 19 was terrible. Obviously your typical weekly stop there for the 19 team. So there's no surprise there to me there. Kyle Busch, that 18, will kick things off from the pole tonight for this All-Star race tonight. He from Joe Gibbs Racing, obviously the Bristol Dirt winner this year, he will roll off first in those regards tonight to the All-Star race.
You're listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3.
The rest of tonight's field here, obviously depending on the four drivers that will also add in, so you're going to have 24 drivers total tonight in this race. Remember last year's battle between Kyle Larson and Brad Keselowski. Kyle Larson will look for back-to-back All-Star wins tonight at Texas. And before I run down the starting lineup here, I want to mention one other thing here as well. Look, Chase Elliott said this, I think, last week as well, right? That I'm a definite opponent to changing it up with the different tracks, right? I mean, Texas just had this last year. I thought they were going to change it this year. Apparently not. So Chase Elliott made the comment that, you know, hey, let's just mix it up. All the major sports mix up there, change their destinations as far as All-Star events go, right? You see Major League Baseball do this. You see, even the NFL draft do this too, where they change up the location of the NFL draft. Like Las Vegas this year, last year they had it at Chicago, I think. I'm not sure about, I can't remember, but they changed the location. Also, the NHL, they had their location changed. Let's see, NBA, obviously, they changed their location of the NBA All-Star Weekend, too, as well. So you know where I'm going with this, right? I think NASCAR, they can do the same thing as well. You have all these different tracks, right? Let's just change it up a little bit. Let's just move it. I understand, you know, back in the old heads days, right, where, okay, every year it was at Charlotte Motor Speedway because all the teams, for the exception of Furniture Row Racing, were located in that radius close to the racetrack where, okay, you have all these big-time players, except for Furniture Racing back in the day, where you had all these race shops there, and it made sense for all teams. But now, understanding it now, back in the new age, right, we can change this thing. This has been the conversation, I'm not just bringing it on my podcast. I'm pretty sure DBC has talked about this. Dale Jr. Donald talked about this, and a couple more, probably even Teardown at some point as well has talked about this too, and I'm bringing it back up right now. I'm a big fan of moving this thing around. Bristol, we saw this at Bristol a couple of years ago with the change up of the new, with the number in the front, sponsor in the back, you know, things like on the side panels of the cars that we're seeing right now, obviously our current race car right now. So I'm a big fan of that. I like to see it at a road course. I definitely like to see that a mile and a half. Change it up a little bit. You know, even if it's not, obviously you want lights, right? And for the exception of Daytona, because Daytona is its own separate beast, right? Because of Speed Weeks, right? You know, except for that. But you have Talladega in there. So even though it doesn't have lights, you know, hey, you know, carve out time early in the day to do it. So you can do it that way. It'll be fun to see it on a road course. Hey, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. Obviously, short track will be awesome to see that. Martinsville, we wanted them, even though we saw some not so good racing there a few months ago. So go do that. Oh, Phoenix, you go out there. You mean, so you have all these different venues. Hey, you know, try them out. I mean, does it hurt? I mean, the worst you can do is get bad comments, you know, and say, hey, we don't like this. You hear from the fans, right? The fans drive the sport too. So, I mean, hopefully next year, you know, they move it to a different location. I'm just a big fan of seeing it. So we'll see what happens, especially with this type of how this car responds to this. "Quote unquote reconfiguration of this track, because nobody likes it because the fact that they screwed it up. I like the old Texas where obviously you can race high, middle, take it three wide, no pun intended, on the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast. So yeah, I'm a big proponent of that. That side of racing there. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. Obviously, because track position is obviously going to be king tonight in the All Star race." So, with $1 million online, we'll see, because with the invert, I did not look at the rules tonight, so I'm not even going to touch that. I'm just going to sit back and watch like all the rest of you guys tonight for this NASCAR All-Star Race. I already talked about Kyle Busch sitting on the pole. He won the event last night. Ryan Blaney will roll off second. William Byron, two-time winner this year so far. We'll off third. Kyle Larson, the Auto Club winner, will start fourth. Kurt Busch, your recent winner in NASCAR Cup Series, start fifth. Ross Chastain, roll off sixth. Also a multi-winner, Talladega, and your COTA winner as well this year. Martin Truex Jr. is yet to win in 2022. He starts seventh. Eric Almirola, also yet to win this year. He's going to roll off eighth spot there. The rest of the field, including Joey Logano, the Darlington winner, starts ninth. AJ Allmendinger, won last year at the Indy World Course. The upset winner starts 10th. Chase Briscoe, getting in thanks to the Phoenix win that I mentioned early on in this podcast. He starts 11th for Stuart Haas Racing. Austin Cindric getting in via Daytona 500 this season. Stars 12, Chase Elliott, already mentioned the Dover winner a couple weeks ago. 13, Christian Rebell has also yet to win this year. He won last year at the Daytona Road Course. He starts 14th. Kevin Harvick, who's yet to win in like a year and a half, he starts 15th and didn't look good. It might be another long night for him. Denny Hamlin, he had a fast race car in practice. He's going to start back in the field. He starts 16th. Denny Hamlin won at Richmond. Bubba Wallace, already mentioned where he won last year. He starts 17th. Brad Keselowski almost won this race a year ago. He starts 18th in his new ride, obviously owned by him, RFK Racing. Michael McDowell, last year's Daytona 500 winner, starts 19th. That's why he's in there. And Alex Bowman, he won multiple times last year. He already won this year at Vegas. He starts 20th. And, of course, we will know the rest of the field tonight when that, as in the field itself, when the cards unfold in the NASCAR Open, which kicks things off later on today. And then, of course, followed by 45 minutes later, the NASCAR All-Star Race. Of course, here in Central Time Zone, everything will start 4:30-ish, 5:30 Eastern Time on FS1, and you can't catch it. MRN has coverage of that. And then, of course, a little later on, prime time is the right time. The All-Star Race coming to you. FS1 from Texas Motor Speedway again, and it's scheduled to be 125 laps scheduled for this event. So I don't know. Again, I did not read the format this year, so I'm going to sit back and get some crackers, popcorn, whatever it is, and watch the race. So hopefully it's going to be a good one. You just don't know. The wild card is how these race cars are going to react through how it's going to race. So we'll see what happens there at that. So I'm very interested in seeing how that goes down that rabbit hole as well. So I'm looking forward to this race as well. So we'll see what happens here as well. Okay, so turning our attention to the Indy 500 qualifying. Obviously, that's going to keep going today as well. So the rest of the field, apparently, from row 5 on, the rest of the field set there. Jimmy Johnson is going for the pole later on today. Jimmy Johnson's been super fast. We kind of had suspicion. Obviously, he didn't race his race last year, so, and we know how he gets around this place. We're seeing that he's a multi-winner. He won the Brick Car 400, 4 or 5 times in his career, and that car got speed in it. So that car's got some speed in it for sure. So that's going to be must-see TV to see Jimmy Johnson can grab the pole for the 2022 version of the Indianapolis 500, which is going to be next week for sure. So a big weekend of racing next weekend, which is my favorite part of the year for sure. So again, more on that on next week's edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. This is episode 293 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Just a couple more minutes with you guys. Not going to get the full hour this week. So there's that. But yeah, just to run it down here, I can't remember. Well, obviously don't have the rest of the 12 in here, but I'm just going to roll some big names that are going to be starting kind of mid-pack here. Joseph Newgarden is going to start 14th. Simon Pagenaud will start 16th next weekend. Alexander Rossi will start 20th. But his son Marco will start 23rd in this race. Colton Herta, very surprised at this. He's going to start 25th in this race. Elio Castroneves, the winner last year for the Indy 500 last year, four-time winner. He's going to start deep in the field. He's going to start 27th. Juan Pablo Montoya, heard this name before? He's going to start 30th for Ayrton McLaren here, and that is it for right now. So, yeah, that's it for right now, and we're going to know where Jimmy stands tonight. So we'll have that covered next week on the podcast as well. So he was fast at one point. He was sitting on top of the charts in qualifying. Obviously that is going to conclude today, I believe. So We'll see what happens today with that. So obviously everything's been moved up apparently with the weather around there as well. So they already moved that up. So see, even IndyCar knows how to do it right. So I made a stance on here on last week's show that, hey, last week you couldn't do really much about it because the rain already was there. So you woke up the thunderstorms and everything like that. And yeah, it looked very ugly, but luckily beautiful sunny skies set on the racetrack, and we were able to get that race in. So that, I was very thankful for that, and we saw one heck of a show all weekend long. And besides the tire issues, so yeah, I mean, even they know how to do it. So yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna go down that rabbit hole right now, but we'll see how it all shakes out for him. We will know where Jimmy stands for sure. We'll have the rest of that top 12 for you on next week's edition of the show, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast, folks. You know how to do it, folks. So tonight is the NASCAR Open and All-Star Race, and already we have two races in the books. Stuart Friesen winning his first race of the year last night, holding on Christian Eckes in a huge win there for him. And that race team there, he's locked into the truck playoffs as well. And no Xfinity regular did not win, obviously, because Tyler Reddick ruined that. The leading Xfinity finisher yesterday was Austin Hill. He finished in the third spot there for Richard's Racer. Austin Hill putting together a strong 2022 campaign. But that is going to wrap things up for another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3, episode 293 in the books this morning. And remember, stay tuned for the All-Star Open and race tonight. Should be exciting. We shall see what cards unfold this evening. Who will take home the $1 million? Find out tonight on FS1. Congratulations to Kurt Busch winning last weekend and to all the recent winners. Who will take home the $1 million here tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for right now on this edition of the podcast. Appreciate you again. Tell your friends about this NASCAR podcast out in the Midwest. For Eddie Greer, a.k.a. EG3, appreciate you. We'll talk to you guys on the next edition of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3.
Is waved on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast where podcasts are found. Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll catch you all in the next episode. Thank you for listening.